Robinhood Radio presents Agriculture from Turkana Farms. Here's Peter Davies.
It seems inescapable, having lived on a farm for almost 20 years, that as I travel, my observations in foreign places are very farm-oriented. This certainly has been true during my annual trips to Turkey, which I know extremely well, having lived there for 3 years, 55 years ago, and traveled there regularly ever since. This year, with the doors closed to Turkey, no visas presently issued to Americans during the diplomatic standoff between our government and Turkey's, we have opted to visit Sicily. These past couple of weeks, in this my first visit to Sicily, I have, like a very energetic vacuum cleaner, taken in as much as I could ascertain about things agricultural in western Sicily. My first surprise was the complete disappearance of peasant life here and the degree to which, as in the rest of the developed world, rural areas are depopulating as so many Sicilians have either emigrated or moved to the city. Approximately half the population emigrated principally to the United States just before and after the turn of the 20th century, driven to do so by the extreme poverty of the island and the massive earthquake of 1907 when Sicily's second city, Messina, was totally decimated with approximately 100,000 casualties. Like Columbia County and its abandoned, collapsing barns, the Sicilian rural scene is dotted by the shells of abandoned farmsteads. The scenes I expected to see of farm folk in the fields working, of wheat-laden ox carts, horse-drawn carts and donkeys, of villagers with farmers' markets bursting with produce, are no longer to be found. Indeed, in 2 weeks of driving in which we crisscrossed the breadth of Sicily twice, I literally saw only one farmer, he driving his tractor on the road. Mark claims he additionally saw an African woman resting from field labor, fanning herself. Now, there was evidence of farm work being done, plowed fields and pastures grazed to the nubs, but little evidence of actual farm life. In part, this seems to be the result of something we are familiar with here, agribusiness. In the coastal areas, we have passed through whole zones of greenhouse vegetable production, covering areas so large that the sun glinting off the plastic greenhouses and hoop houses creates a kind of mirage of lakes and ponds. As to the interior, which is very high in altitude and quite mountainous, the arable land is given over to wheat and the rocky steep land to grazing. But there is a kind of continuity since historically Sicily served as a major breadbasket for Rome. Now, it would appear that wheat continues to be produced in huge quantities, but as in our grain-producing regions of the Middle West, mostly by big agribusiness rather than small farms. The degree to which Sicilian food is being produced by agribusiness was confirmed by our several trips to the Ypres and supermercatos, that is the hyper and supermarkets, where the food on display suggested a real decline in quality and flavor. It is particularly sad to see a region with such a marvelous food culture treading the same dismal path we are. One possible bright sign is that a number of restaurants we have been to list dishes that are consistent with the slow food movement. Slow food, founded by Carlo Petrini in Italy in 1986 as an alternative to fast food, strives to preserve traditional and regional cuisine and encourages farming of plants, seed, and livestock characteristic of the local ecosystem. So there is hope. But the brightest and most interesting agricultural entity I saw on this trip, also a hopeful sign, was the Giardino della Colombethra, the Garden of Colombethra, now under the auspices of the Fonda Ambiente Italia, its acronym FAI, in part a trust devoted to preserving Italy's culture, art, and landscape, inspired by the National Trust for England, Wales, and Northern Ireland. The garden, a term which does not really accurately capture what this entity is near Agrigento, on the south coast of Sicily, in amongst the ruined temples of the ancient Greek city of Akragas, dating back to 500 BC, which at its peak had a population of 200,000. In 480 BC, with the triumph of Akragas over an invading Carthaginian army at the Battle of Himera, the tyrant of Akragas, Theron, used the spoils of war, including the enslaved Carthaginian prisoners of war, to build a new hydraulic system to meet the water needs of the city. This new system, created by the architect Phaiase, included the creation of a final catch basin, which required the enslaved Carthaginians to dig a massive gorge along the edge of the city. This massive gorge encompassed over 12 acres and was 30 feet deep and served as a reservoir, fish farm, and a defensive moat. Thanks to a system of canals and conduits created to fill this reservoir, the Greeks of Akragas transformed this very dry corner of Sicily into a lush garden teeming with Mediterranean flora, birds, and fish. But by the first century AD, the reservoir had ceased to hold water and was partially filled in and began to be used for agricultural purposes. Between 1828 and 1087 AD, the region was occupied by the Arabs, who used the Giardino, literally garden, taken from the Sicilian giardinu, for raising fruits and vegetables. By the Middle Ages, the Giardino became Catholic church property and was called the Badia Bassa. During the 19th and 20th centuries, it enjoyed a period of great splendor, becoming a must-see destination for grandees on their grand tour. During this period, it was farmed and maintained by peasant farmers in a highly organized commune. But with the disappearance of the peasantry in the latter years of the 20th century, the garden fell into ruin. To rescue it, the FAI took over its administration and presently is returning the Giardino della Colombethra to its former glory. Citrus trees make up almost a third of the present vegetation, including oranges, lemons, mandarins, clementines, citrons, grapefruit, limes, bergamots, and bigarades. Many of the varieties found here are not normally cultivated and no longer exist outside the Giardino. Also growing here are olive trees, almonds, pistachios, quinces, pomegranates, persimmons, bananas, figs, plums, pears, and prickly pears. In the non-cultivated areas on the side of the gorge are bushes typical of the Mediterranean maquis, including oleaster, myrtle, terebinth, pistache, dwarf palm, and euphorbia. Along a small stream running the length of the garden, a surviving part of the irrigation system are canes, willows, tamarisks, and poplars. And in the open sunny areas are artichoke patches and tomatoes and members of the brassica family, and under the semi-shade of the citrus trees grow squash and beans. This incredible variety of trees, bushes, and plants is not planted in orderly rows or segregated into separate orchards. Instead, it is as if the seeds and seedlings were at one time put in a huge bag, given a good shaking, and randomly broadcast throughout the gorge. This very organic scene is intersected here and there by winding dirt paths. Thus, the Giardino della Colombethra once again serves as a place of productivity and beauty, and as a valuable arboretum preserving a whole range of endangered plant species, and provides its many visitors with a place of pleasure and repose. Something, some might say, like what we have attempted to do in our rather modest way with Turkana Farms.
Peter Davies and his partner Mark Scherzer are proprietors of Turkana Farm, specializing in heritage breeds of livestock on their 40-acre farm in Germantown, New York. Peter also presides over Turkana Odyssey, in which he customizes cultural tours of Turkey for small groups, which he calls an insider's view of Turkey. And his third hat is Turkana Gallery of Old and Antique Kilims, which he operates in the Wall Street area of Manhattan. Mark presides over his law firm, Mark Scherzer Law Office, which specializes in health law, also in the Wall Street area. Their farm website, TurkanaFarms.com. Their email, farm@TurkanaFarms.com, or 518-537-3815.